Next speaker is from the Philippines, Christine Aprico.
Is it working? Okay. Can you see me from here? Because I'm vertically challenged. That's how Filipinos are. Okay, maybe this side. Yeah. Fine. Okay. Good morning. It's my first time in Norway and my first time at the JTS. And I'm here to share with you a study that my co-researcher and I have conducted. It's about a how three major academic libraries in possession of scholarly media materials are dealing with the dilemma of media obsolescence. So this is in the face of audiovisual preservation being experienced in the Philippines. So so far, the lectures have been so enriching for me. I'm not really an archivist. I'm a librarian. So my presentation is more of a, the orientation towards the academic. So, but I have worked, thank you, I have worked in a studio film archive at the beginning of my career, and this have helped so much when I later on became a media librarian in a university library. Having gleaned preservation and conservation techniques along the way, I was able to compare the preservation concerns of a film archive vis-a-vis a media library, to which I will be relating to you in a little while. Okay, so this is the overview of the presentation. I will state the problem and then the methodology that I used. The key discussion points and current reality shall discuss the shall include a discussion of AV preservation practices in the Philippines, and a discussion of the findings shall include the practices and plight on AV preservation of the academic libraries that you have surveyed, and of course the conclusion. So what is the problem? Okay, acknowledging the fact that media obsolescence is an issue in Philippine academic media libraries today, we looked into how three major academic libraries are dealing with this issue. So for this study, we focused on three media centers housed in university libraries. So these are the these are the University of the Philippines Media Services Section, the Ateneo de Manila University Multimedia Resource Center, and the De La Salle University Instructional Media Services, to which I am, well, I'm with De La Salle, but I am not in charge of the Instructional Media Services. But we chose them because they have a large collection of AV materials that could well represent other media libraries in the country. But if we are going to continue on with the study, we shall include other media libraries as well. So we also strive to look at what specific preservation issues do they face and how they are finding ways to solve these concerns the best they can, given the resources that they have right on hand. We also, likewise, were able to compare each of the media centers' current practices and then learned of their adaptive strategies. Sorry, excuse me. Okay. So this is the methodology. So the survey method was the primary approach used in conducting this research, with interviews set up with the staff or librarian in charge of the media libraries and their library directors. So we sought the consent of the library directors. And then the instrument, of course, is the survey questionnaire, which was structured in a way that will touch on collection makeup, the media library's provenance, and the preservation efforts and strategies to combat media obsolescence. Of course, we did literature review in order to substantiate data collection and provide a discussion on AV preservation in the Philippines. So most of some references were taken from the 1990s, but they're still, the principles are still applicable to this study. So let's go there, the key discussion points. So what is in fact being safeguarded here is not the media carrier per se, but the information contained in this media. So it's not anymore really, they just happen to contain the information, so we have to safeguard the information there. And then the protection of the intangible heritage, which is always the advocacy of preservation. And then at this point, the gathering of AV collection in one place and putting them in storage to extend the collection's lifeline is already an act of preservation, so we all know that. Preservation managers are all up in arms in ensuring that there is minimum loss of value in the documentary heritage that is being cared for, since permanent accessibility is the major point of preservation. Content is information, so information is more important. Okay. So it is also important to make a preservation of audiovisual materials happen. A preservation policy must be put into place in order to have a sense of direction for the media libraries. The policy should be intrinsic to the institution that will constitute it. And the policy mainly anchors on the institutional aims that will characterize the taking shape of the audiovisual archives, library, or media center. Therefore, the policy should be drawn, by all means, it should be doable and practicable. And this is crucial in media libraries. Administrative support is very important. Because the preservation manager has to work hand in hand with the institution. So if there's no institutional support, I don't know what will happen. Okay. So AV preservation in the Philippines. Well, the Philippine cinema has and will continue to flourish and escalate in the years to come. This is because of the fact that the country has an enduring history of film and television industry. The fact that cinema has been culturally ingrained among Filipinos is enough testament of the vast audiovisual heritage collection the country has amassed over the years. In my country, the culture is more on visual and oral. So reading is not really, we are not a reading, well, we read because it's required in school, but people are more interested in watching, listening, and listening to oral tradition. So it's like that. The Philippines also bask in ostensibly endless possibilities offered by the magnetic tape technology. So apart from the films, magnetic tapes are the next format that we use. Magnetic formats render broadcast quality transmission as it functions as the film's second generation copies. Okay, the third and fourth generation duplicates later in beta or VHS, what emanate from the second wave of materials. Okay. So, what happens to the library? Okay. Media libraries, on the other hand, are repositories of mainstream audiovisual materials. Later on, video recordings usually come in VHS or beta formats, while sound recordings in sound cassettes. Preservation copies are made using the same media. That is beta to beta or cassette to cassette. This duplication practice is a preservation strategy applied by libraries as a continuing effort done by media custodians in line with their objective of keeping the information contained in the magnetic carriers going. Okay. Well, we know that the drawback of duplication, although it is a cheap process, is the generation loss of quality. So even if the carrier is refreshed, and yet the quality diminishes. So the practice weakens the physical integrity of the magnetic tape as well. Here's another issue. Well, far beyond the mechanical stress brought by refreshing is the damaging effects imposed by nature upon the magnetic tape. Okay, the Philippines is a tropical country. We only have two seasons, wet and dry. When it's dry, it's really dry. When it's hot, it's really hot. It's like feverish hot. And when it's wet, the impression is like there's no tomorrow when it rains. So for smaller archives, this tropical climate is a degradation agent itself to magnetic media. The smaller libraries will have a hard time warding off the effects of nature in an enormous challenge in defending their audiovisual collection. So when it's really hot, the air conditioner should come on, but sometimes they break down. So we will come to that in one issue later. Okay. So audiovisual archivists recognize the daunting turn in preservation at this time of booming technological advances. The shift of preservation strategies could be rooted mainly on the emergent issue of obsolescence, which is another key enemy of information carriers. We all know that no matter how well kept the media carriers are, if the playback equipment units to which to replay them get superseded every time, the information carriers get stale. Okay. It seems that the feasible solution that quite addresses this technical problem is to migrate whatever must be preserved from one file format to another, especially now that playback machines and spare parts are fast disappearing. The key here is that you should every possible solution to safeguard the content must be exhausted. Okay. Oh, preservation managers also must be quick to anticipate what is next to come and prepare themselves for any preservation eventuality. So we all know that. The discussion of the findings. So what is the media library's thrust? As the rest of the AV archiving community explores alternatives and feasible solutions to fight off media obsolescence, there is yet another sector that is similarly working hard to manage the emerging predicament, which is the library. Big university libraries in the Philippines are most likely to maintain their media resource centers to complement their print collection. It is curricular support. Curricular support is the primary thrust in libraries. A library tends to concentrate more on building up their collection and then later on preservation. So this is done because the purpose is instructional support. So you have to support the patron's instructional and research needs. So this is where now a library media center and an independent AV archive usually differ. While archivists are vigilant in the safeguarding and upkeeping of the AV materials more than collection development, the librarians, on the other hand, pay more attention to research and information support, that as this is their foremost role. However, this does not mean that media custodians in libraries are not concerned with preservation at all. With the apparent shift in media carrier generation taking place, media centers are truly not exempt from the obsolescence crisis. Now, let's go to the libraries. The libraries of University of the Philippines, Ateneo, and De La Salle are considered ancient, as these universities came into existence for more than 100 years to date. Over time, their nature of library collections has evolved parallel to the progressing needs of their library users, as they keep in step with the common mission of providing information and instructional support for the programs of their institution. Libraries now have alternative resource centers for AV materials and electronic resources. So if students get bored with books, they just watch a video in the library or listen to sound recordings. These non-print formats offered a more stimulating learning environment among the library's researchers, which they continue to benefit from and enjoy. Okay. Now, the media centers that they have, UP and La Salle started building their AV collection in the late 80s, while Ateneo began setting up theirs in the late 90s. What is this is actually the result of the survey. So the three university libraries are home to a large number of audiovisual resources covering a myriad of subject areas, both of local and foreign genres. These media centers collect materials that are in line with their university's research and instructional curricula. So they don't just collect and collect AV materials. It has to be in line with the curricula of their institution, sorry. What is the general composition of their collection? So they have video recordings in magnetic format. A majority of their video recordings are in VHS format because at the time when they started building their media resource centers, the prevalent format magnetic, so VHS. So they have more VHS. And then later on, they acquire these in DVD and VCD formats. The sound recordings they have in audio cassette tapes still and the audio CDs. And they also collect film slide sets with accompanying music and audio cassette tapes. Now, this is the heart of the paper. Okay, so While it is a widely acknowledged deficit in managing their own collections, there are no written preservation policies. So these are the issues and the solutions that they try to employ in order to solve, to meet the challenge. Okay. So if there is no written preservation policy, they simply follow the common rule of thumb preservation procedures, oftentimes improvising on some practices when specific preservation materials are not locally available. Unlike in Europe or in America, there are if we want to acquire supplies to clean the tapes, for example, we really have to import. So there are no locally available materials. So they just improvise. So instead of, for example, using a dehumidifier, they use charcoal. Instead of using a special cloth, they use inexpensive but lint-free cloth for cleaning audio and video tape heads. And then they just rewind and fast-forward the tapes. That's their idea of preservation winding. They do this just to keep its preservation efforts at bay. Another issue is the storage condition. I mentioned a while ago that we only have two seasons. So their solution to storage conditions are air-conditioned rooms. So these serve as their pseudo-vaults, yeah, for low-temperature storage. The two universities, Ateneo and De La Salle, these are private institutions. Ateneo recently built a new building, so their media resource center has a very good air conditioning unit. De La Salle has an old building, but it has a very good air conditioning system as well. So the most problematic of the three is University of the Philippines. They struggle with poor air conditioning system, which is sadly ironic considering that they have the largest collection compared to the two media centers, because apart from the audiovisual collection that they have, they also have microforms and all other materials there. So, yes. So this is, of course, an issue. This is an issue that budget is actually proving itself challenging to media centers. Money is always the common denominator, as preservation processes do not come cheap. In the case of the three institutions I mentioned, Ateneo and La Salle are private institutions, so they can always source out money from their home university if they need something for their media resource centers. On the other hand, the University of the Philippines, being a state university, having budget problems, having budget problems. They usually face the dilemma of preservation due to their large number of collection and its relatively small finance base for its maintenance. Then, of course, along with technological developments comes the human resources issue. The thrust of librarians and media custodians in libraries hinges more on instructional and research support, but AV preservation training is fundamental to the maintenance of the AV collections. There really is no formal course specific to AV preservation, with very few opportunities for AV preservation training. So what happens with that? Staff members or the media custodians of all three institutions end up relying upon themselves to discover improvised preservation techniques. So they self-study, they capitalize on self-training. Although we have an organization in the country, it's the Society of Filipino Archivists on Film. They can only do so much because they also need support from bigger organizations, just like FIAF and all other institutions or all other organizations. So there. With their role as instructional support system, the impact of media obsolescence is especially felt whenever there is a problem replaying video and sound recordings in tape format. A large bulk of Ateneo and UP's Video collections consist of beta and VHS tapes. And with the frequency of servicing these materials to their students, mechanical stress is experienced by both tape itself and its playback machine, therefore causing the material, the machine, and its accessories to break down. And to make matters worse, playback machines and parts, as well as magnetic tape formats, are all rapidly going out of the Philippine market. So this is actually the problem. Even if there are already, even if there are still VCRs from other countries, in the Philippine markets today, most they sell DVD player, DVD playback machines, Blu-rays, but you seldom see, maybe in the thrift shops or the surplus shops you can see VHS and beta playback machines. So what was the obsolete assault? To ease the impact a little, the media carers of UP, Ateneo, and LaSalle resorted to producing preservation copies of their AV collection. So refreshing became the common preservation practice. This is to ensure continuity and sustainability of the information contained in the media carriers while it could still be exhibited for class instruction. I used to be the media librarian of the University of the Philippines, and in one day, we are screening four classes a day. So sometimes they just use one video title. So imagine we have to make preservation copies of that title. The initial procedure was to duplicate using the same medium, VHS to VHS. But with the steady shift in media technology, modern media equipment and equivalent machinery later became prerequisites. Over time, VHS players have started disappearing and the DVDs became the popular format with the most available playback machines in the Philippine market today. Hence, the three media centers later considered another preservation strategy, which is migration. Now, this is how they do it. Actually, it's to some of you, it may be still primitive, but it works. Okay, this is how they do preservation copies. Okay, this is the strategy used by Ateneo and LaSalle. What they do is that they use capture cards installed to a computer to record a video being played on a VHS machine straight into the hard disk of the computer, to which a special software converts it into a video file. This is later converted into a movie file, playable among compatible DVD players, and then they burn it into a DVD. Okay, so that's how they do it. In UP, this is how they do it. Okay, they use a DVD recorder lined in from either a VHS or beta player to capture the video. The video will be displayed on the television screen, to which the DVD-R burns it directly into a DVD. So, that's the way they do it without the computer. Okay. Primitive, right? But it works. Okay. So truly, the above-mentioned efforts and procedures may put the three media centers on the wrong side of the digital divide, that is, storing AV collection onto a DVD. But if only to preserve the contents held by their present media carriers, this is by far a better alternative than to have no preservation strategy at all. Accessibility of the content for the future is the end goal of preservation. And as far as the three media libraries are concerned, this goal is being realized by their continuing efforts. Okay, so what's up ahead? Even if they do the duplication, the refreshing duplication practice, they are also respecting the intellectual property rights and fair use law of the country. They're very careful with that. Therefore, the preservation is for in-house exhibition and classroom use only. What they do in Ateneo and LaSalle, So they have the original copies. They create a duplicate copy in DVD. They loan out the original. Well, if a faculty member or a student wants to borrow a certain title, they loan out the original copy and then they keep the duplicate copy in their shelves. So at least they're loaning out the original. What UP is doing, on the other hand, they do not allow loaning out of material. So if you want to view a video, you have to go to the library and view it from there. Okay, so that's how they go get away with the law. While the DVD is the current media carrier that is portable and readily playable today, these institutions recognize that this may not yet be the carrier that could guarantee longevity, and there could be another stable medium or system that may open up opportunities for long-term stability. Well, digitization is now happening left and right and could be the next big thing to ease the challenge of obsolescence being faced by the media centers in the country. Digitization is, in by definition, it's not like the ones that institutions in other countries do. So the three institutions are trying its hand on digitization inch by inch. Aside from migrating its video, they are exploring on digitizing their sound recordings into portable file formats. On the side, there have been slide sets which were digitized using simple scanning machines. Excuse me. Okay, so I'm about to finish. If there is one thing clear in all three media centers at present, it is the fact that there is yet an ideal media format to which to store information, as each format poses a problem when it comes to mechanical integrity. Each has its own fragility. As such, the trick now lies in proper storage and handling techniques for each type of data carrier. The basic rule of thumb to ensure media stability for now is controlled temperature and relative humidity conditions, which is the standard, while in handling is to keep the data carrier clean at all times. Data carriers require handling techniques inherent to each type so as to avoid deformation. The assumption in the AV archiving domain is that everything will go digital. Librarians and archivists must then engage themselves in standard preservation techniques while they wait for future developments in AV archiving. As for the three institutions, UP, Ateneo, and LaSalle, their ultimate goal for now is to eventually create a digital media library that will serve both their constituents while at the same time safeguarding cultural heritage and information to be passed on to the future generation of library users. That's all I have to say. Maraming salamat. Thank you very much.
Hi. We've been studying academic library media centers for about 6 or 7 years in the United States. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we found is that administrators within libraries, as well as staff in other departments, perceive these collections as being fleeting, ephemeral,
yes,
related to
yes,
just courses that are taught once or
yes,
twice. And they also see them as being commercial and totally replaceable items.
Mm-hmm.
And our studies have shown that well over 10% are not replaceable. They're mm-hmm, unique materials, things
yeah,
like that. Do you find similar situation where, you know, for example, in the United States, mm-hmm, most preservation departments within an academic library will have nothing to do with these mm-hmm, situations, both because they only focus on paper and they
yes,
don't know audiovisual.
Yes.
But also because they also think that, oh, you can just buy
yeah,
a new one.
It's available commercially.
Yeah.
Actually, we have the same
yeah,
same problem. That's why the organizations like, yeah, I mentioned the Society of Filipino Archivists, they're really vigilant about it, the importance of AV and film as film also. Because sadly, in our country, it's not the government does not support such endeavor. Yes, they only focus on paper records. They digitize paper records. In fact, there's one project that the government has, but it's more on, it's called the Philippine E-Library Project, but it's more on the digitization of Philippine collections, rare collections, but not, but there have been no efforts yet for AV, probably because they think it's the same. It's ephemeral. It doesn't last.
Okay. So I, up here on your left, yeah? In the course of your study, did you not come across Sipava?
Yes. Sipava. Actually, the members of... it's in one of my literature scanning, actually.
Because it's coming from an organization that has spent 15 years training in the region and with its secretariat in Manila, saying that no specific training is available to Filipino archivists is somewhat offensive.
Oh, sorry. No, maybe because it doesn't reach the libraries. It's just in a concentrated in a one group. Actually, there's a the Sipava conference. They happen every 2 years. There was one 2 years.
Sipava happened. I'm a council member of Sipava.
Yes, yes.
It happens every year, with the exception of 1 year when SARS prevented it.
Yes. There was,
and it's an all-embracing organization that's open to everybody.
Yes. There was one training that happened in Manila, I think in 2008. I knew about it because I knew people from the Society of Filipino Archivists who handled as who functioned as secretariat of Sipava when they were in the Philippines. But apparently, apart from me... Maybe it didn't reach other other media other academic libraries. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's the reason why media technicians don't feel it, because it's up on the surface, but actually it's there.
Okay.
Hi, just two questions. One, how many copies of the DVDs are you making? And then what is the file format you're putting on the DVD?
Okay. For every title is, like for one title, one service copy. Yeah. And then what's the next question? Sorry. How do you... The file format?
Yeah.
It's AVI, I think. Yeah. Anything that is that can read a normal, that can be read by a normal DVD player.
Okay, last question here.
Yeah. Well, sticking to the DVD is of course not a preservation format for analog materials and for other digital encoded materials, so, but I'm sure you're aware of that.
Yes.
But may I perhaps hook in on the topic that was raised a little bit earlier on Sipava and other possibilities to hook into international networks. The most important fact to solve the problem in your and many other countries, but this is not a southern problem. It's also a northern problem. You see, is the weak cooperation between institutions, audiovisual institutions within the country, wherever you are. Mm-hmm. You see, so the 80% of the solutions is in the country. But because of the lack of cooperation, many of institutions look to outside, and sometimes help and assistance come from outside, but this is not spread adequately.
Yes.
To underline this, I would like to inform you that since 2008 we are running a project on on your campus at UP to safeguard the collection, the research collection. It's not a library project, it's a research archives project to safeguard the 2,000 hours collection of José Maceda.
Yes.
This runs on a fully professional standards as outlined in YASA TC03 and YASA TC04. And so perhaps if you would walk over the campus to them and invite them, they would know. they have everything.
Yes.
They have modern replay machines. They have inches stations. Mm-hmm. They have listening stations, and they have a big server to accommodate their collection. And this model would also work for you and for the other media service centers in your country. So what I suggest is set up a Philippine Association of Audiovisual Archives, and this will enhance your problems. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You enhance your solutions. I'm sorry. This is enhance the solution of your problems. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Christine Abrigo. Should we plug it in? I would also say that we will have better time tomorrow for more general discussions. So do keep more general. What shall we say? Questions and discussion points for tomorrow, where I hope we can have a more ongoing dialogue about these issues, because I completely agree with Dietrich that many of the problems are not so much international as they are also national and sort of fighting for national money rather than trying to find them internationally.